You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hi, I'm Dan Soder.
And I'm Big J. Okerson.
And you're listening to the Best of the Bonfire. Stay tuned to hear some of our favorite moments from this week. You can listen to the Bonfire live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also, be sure to follow us on all social media at the Bonfire SXM.
Crackle Crackle Campers is Black Lou, and welcome to the Bonfire's Best of the Week. The great Shane Gillis zoomed in from the heart of Pennsylvania to give his predictions for the first presidential debate of 2020.
The mayor of Royersford, the heart of central Pennsylvania, joining us on the phone, Shane Gillis from the Mansions.
Yeah. Yes, dude.
Dude, I love a call in a parking lot.
Yeah. I'm here at Trump headquarters live from a Walmart parking lot.
You might as well be at a rally. A Walmart parking lot's like an always Trump rally.
Dude, it's game day. I don't know how you feel right now, but it's fucking game day.
I swear to you, on my life, I've never been more excited for like a debate. I think something fucking crazy is going to happen.
Shane, are you tailgating? Are you doing a Trump tailgate in a Walmart parking lot?
Yeah, we had to break for the rain, but I'm going to go back out. Yeah.
You know, dude, you thought the Buffalo Bills get wild. Get ready for this one.
A Taco Bell sharing this parking lot. Yeah, it's party time out here.
Oh, man. I bet they're going to get hammered and yell, build a wall. They're just going to start chanting, build a wall at the Taco Bell.
Should I bring my phone inside? You can see some fat units walking around out here. It's wild.
Dude, I love nothing more than mashed potato calves on a lady.
Everybody out here.
Well, buddy, I got to tell you, I watched that Comey movie, the two-night thing of that. I was telling Dan about that. And just through the stuff and what's going on in the goddamn world, I've never in my life, I think skipped almost every round of debates ever. I watched one or two last year with Hillary and him because he was being so weird. Trump, but I also didn't think he was going to win, so I wasn't that invested. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, this is all just like, you know, he's going to look like an ass and Hillary's going to win this thing anyway. So, like, who cares? This year, like, I'm going to watch all the debates of the – I can't wait to see what – I think something insane is going to happen.
This is basically last year – or last election was Drago versus Creed.
Yeah.
Hillary was Creed fucking showing off. Everyone was like, yo, that's our guy.
Living in America.
Maybe Biden's Rocky. I don't know. Dude, I have strong, I don't know. I watched that Buster Douglas documentary, and Biden could be Buster. Trump is definitely Tyson in his prime.
Oh yeah, he's just getting hand jobs from the cleaning ladies in the Tokyo hotel.
He's doing interviews. He's like, usually I get I fornicate before I talk to a woman.
Yes, I'm gonna fuck me till you love me. I'll stomp on your son's testicles. My defense is impregnable.
Yeah, dude. Actually, Trump was just here. He was in Middletown, Pennsylvania this week, and I tried to go.
Could you not get tickets?
Yeah, I tried, dude.
Did they scalp?
Like, yeah, but you had to wait outside for like 5 hours.
Dude, fuck it. And then you get Trump inside ticket. And you're like, he's going to do it. He's going to talk so much shit.
Well, it was right after he named a Supreme Court lady. So, yeah, he was talking mad shit.
Yeah.
But also, it was raining. It was raining, and he has that makeup. So that would have been fun to watch. Yeah. It would have been nice to watch his, like, dude, he goes, like, full blackface, like, every time.
Yeah, you don't realize that's not a brine on him. That's a fucking – that's painted on. Yeah, yeah, I wonder, it'd be like a stripper with a car broken down. It's just, like, fucking running down his face. Dude, oh, my God.
I also got to tell you guys this. Breaking news. I stubbed the fuck – I walked into Sheetz before I came to this Walmart, and I stubbed my toe so hard that it ripped the sock, and my toe is bleeding. I got two cans of Skull and Band-Aids from the fucking cashier.
Dude, that's a Sheetz Tuesday special right there.
Yeah.
Band-Aids and Skull.
Now I have a hole in my sock.
Band-Aids over.
Horribly bloody toe sticking out.
Yeah, that's the stubbed toe is a thing where I broke my toe earlier this summer, like my third one in, the third one from the one next to the pinky toe.
You didn't tell me about that, Daniel.
I should have. I was embarrassed, Shane.
I'll be honest. I'm happy to hear him say that because I didn't know about this either, Dan.
Is the uniform to going into Walmart having very light jeans? Everybody here.
Very light denim.
It's the only color that goes with a Looney Tunes t-shirt.
Yeah. I think she was wearing one.
Of course. Marvin the Martian and or Tweety Bird.
Oh, man. I always love Taz and Bugs dressed up as Yankees fans.
Backwards jerseys.
Yeah, dressed up as Crisscross.
Yeah, Crisscross. What's your predict? You said you have predictions for the debates.
Truthfully, no, I'm just saying people need to respect greatness right now and understand this is, in fact, Tyson in his prime. Enjoy it while it lasts. Eventually, the wheels are going to come off, but another lady walking by me with
light jeans.
Like ankle high. It's wild.
Oh, by the way, sight unseen, from your description, I'll tell you right now, both of them make dick slappingly good potato salad.
Do they all have large bags as they're walking in, but the bags are like on their elbow, not their shoulder?
I got to see them again.
Let me know if their hair looks freshly wet from a shower and then they just fucking tossed on a good sweatshirt and jeans to go pick up some stuff for the kids.
Also, give me a heads up if anybody pulls a cigarette out of a soft pack inside of a change purse-like holder.
Ooh! Let me also know the scrunchie situation. I feel like there's a hot scrunchie possibility all these women were describing.
Give me a Walmart. Heads up if you see her wearing white sneakers of a brand you've never heard of.
Yeah, dude, Challenge Athletics seems like a real good
Aztec sport.
Yeah. A lot of shacks. Damn. I don't know.
Do you think Biden stumbles a lot? Because he fucks up in ways where you're like a teacher that you want to retire, that you're like, I'm sure you were great at this.
I bet you Trump's camp is like, yo, if this goes right, you can end this tonight.
I bet they're making
he's probably got a way where he can, there's a chance where Biden can fucking blow it in these debates. Really just when people go, wait, I'm worried this guy's actually like not together right now. He's got so much to prove. Biden.
Anytime. So Trump's biggest problem is he goes off the teleprompter and just starts running his fucking mouth.
He freestyles. He goes a cappella.
Biden's problem is when there's no teleprompter, dude, that guy is it's a Fox debate, so the moderators definitely didn't give Biden the questions. Like, if it was CNN, they would have gave him the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, dude, this is Trump. This is a home game. Yeah. This is in Death Valley.
Yeah, this is coming in week one, Death Valley, dude. Thursday night. College game day is there. Kirk Herbstreit's in the audience.
Oh, because we're coming to your city.
It's freestyle wise. I mean, Trump can ramble better than it. He just does. He does the little kid caught looking for words for an excuse. Where he goes, I was going, and then I didn't even know, and then you were coming over here, but I didn't, and you were bad. And Biden just straight up just gets caught like a fucking like a scratched CD. Where he's like,
is tonight going to be the first time ever? Because I don't even think last year is going to be the first time ever in a debate that like. One guy's going to call the other guy names. Like, he's going to fucking call him Sleepy Joe and shit, like, to his face.
Well, he's going to hit him with the, like, if Biden comes out swinging, Trump will be like, you're awake tonight. That's pretty good.
Right? Like, that's what I mean. Like, shit like that. That's just not like, it's crazy.
First off, I should have been hired by the Democrats to teach him how to fucking, I know the techniques.
You could have been his bully, Mr. Miyagi.
Biden needs to just go, dude, you're obsessed with me.
Yeah. Shane, I told Katie that I used the Shaneism on Twitter. A guy was just like repeatedly being like, Dan Soder sucks. This guy sucks. And I go, dude, you're so obsessed with me. Immediately he turned around and goes, oh, listen, I think you're fine. It's just like, oh, it's fucking, I'm
all,
just fucking
all credit. Mad. All credit is due to Billy McCusker, by the way.
It's I would like to think that both Biden and Trump are just in the same room ripping lines of Adderall, and they're like, you ready to give him a show? he's like, of course I do. You know, Joe, these poor people have no idea that we're friends. He's like, I know, and I'm excited. Let's fucking go.
Dude, my friend this morning sent me Trump talking about Rosie O'Donnell. There's a It's from Entertainment Tonight, like 15 years ago. Both but they fat. Clearly, it's like the extended cut where they were like, we just need to get you saying something fucked up about Rosie O'Donnell. So it's just 2 minutes straight of different cuts of him being like, you know, I'd actually like to take money out of her fat ass pockets. He's like, she's disgusting on the outside and the inside. She's a complete loser.
I remember that. I remember the outside and the inside line.
Yeah, dude. That's the one I think they went with. But
that was one of his bars.
He called her like a fat cow at some point, something like that.
That was his first like real. That was his first slip in
he
the
called her a complete disaster.
Yeah, complete disaster.
Yeah, there are ways of just stinging, dude. He just hits. He just got body shots. He's got.
And that's the problem. Is and the problem is you look at Rosie O'Donnell and you look at her and you go. Yeah, see what he's saying. it's like sure, if we're gonna be not superficial about this, he's being a dick. But I mean, you know,
but she,
he's drilling her. He's drilling.
To be honest, I think that was the first. You know, a lot of people think that about the sweet science. That was the first time you saw Trump really counter and throw one back. It was one of the early debates. Megyn Kelly was like, "You referred to women as slobs and dogs." Only Rosie O'Donnell place goes nuts. This is going to be trouble.
Yeah. How would you, as if you were Biden's bully coach, how would you have him? Because you know the Don, you know what the Don uses, you know his style.
Yeah.
How would you have him slip one of the Don's upper body blows or uppercuts?
God. I don't know. This is a tough one.
Do you think Biden has the movement? That's the question. Does he attack the New York Times article about his tax returns? Does he go after like his money? Because I feel like if you go after Trump's money, that's what he's built.
By the way, he answered the taxes thing. He was like, they were like, he only paid $750 in taxes. He was like, blow me.
Well, they're gonna bring that up, and Trump's just gonna say no. He's just gonna be like, that's not true.
I paid millions.
And that's it. That's the end of it. But also, Dan, to answer your question, if I'm coaching Biden tonight, it's just got to be in a phone booth, dude. There's no ducking.
So you're giving him the Creed 2 training where he stands in the tire and just fucking exchanges blows? Just fucking.
Yeah, he's just going to have to take blows, dude.
You have to take them and give them.
Yeah. And what's weird is it's an interesting debate to talk about, but people are so fucking invested now, one way or the other, that they hear the word and then they hear the rest of the conversation of like, oh, you're a fan of them? Like, dude, seeing.
I know. Seeing I posted on Twitter, I was like, Trump minus 1,000 tonight.
Yeah, which is funny.
So many people are like, this guy's a fucking loser ever since he got fired from SNL.
It's just a funny joke. Just
like,
to say,
dude, that doesn't mean I like Trump.
Dude, just to come out with a stat like that.
I feel like it's going to be a debate, though, of like constant crowd playing. It's like, well, this guy's policies are as thin as his fucking real hair. It's going to be total crowd playing tonight.
If Biden or Trump couldn't have hired Shane, they should have hired Stone Cold just to get to those promos going, like a Monday Night promo where he's like, I'm over here wondering why your tax return says that you didn't give a damn dime towards the United States government. What? and that's the bottom line.
I think that's actually right. That would be one way to beat Trump is if you went nuts on him and just kept like, I'm not going to let this go. I'm going to scream at you for not paying your taxes.
Well, the problem is nobody will get in the dirt with him.
Yeah.
Like, nobody going against him will get in the dirt. So he'll do it, and it's like Joe Biden. Unfortunately, it does signify, like, the downfall of society somehow to me in my mind. But but Biden would be better to go out there and be like, this guy had sex with prostitutes and got peed on. This guy got, he bangs porn stars and all this stuff. He goes, this guy is just like a slob of a dude. Like, put him back on TV. And let's get back to being a country united again. Like, you can go, but no one will get slug it out with him like that. He's going to just be like, I'm not going to sink to those levels. But meanwhile, his people are going like, we're going to vote for you, Mr. Biden. Trump's like, fuck. And people are leaving there with jerseys and shit. A merch table, dude.
Yeah, Trump,
they love him. Trump 69.
Off-brand Trump 69 jersey.
And that's the bottom line, because Trump, he said so.
He goes,
none of them will get in the dirt because they're so dirty. If they get, dude, if they start talking shit like that, Trump will be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, dude.
He's you like, fucked kids.
Yeah. Like, they'll just have stuff where they're like, you've cheated on your taxes for 30 years. We talked about it at a dinner in 1995. And they're like, what the fuck, dude? What are you doing?
Yeah, that, I think it's like the amazing like comeback of like, you know, I mean, they're going to bring something up or out like that no one knows yet, information. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have something on Trump that's just like a crazy, like, and by the way, we did get our hands on ledgers from whatever. Or, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell did speak and say that you were on that island with kids and whatever about Trump. You know what I mean?
He only hung out with the staff.
That's
the rumor. Also, I think it was verified in like a transcript.
That he only hung out with staff?
A staff member was like, Trump would come, but he would just eat dinner with us.
I don't like kids. I don't like being around him. There's people beating up him out there.
Trump, you could fuck these kids. He's like, I don't want to be around them at all. I don't like them.
I don't like them. I can't
They're loud. They're always running around with ideas.
They're slabs.
Well, are we in kind of the state where there won't be a winner? It's just going to be each side is both loudly saying they won. Like, is there an ability in the current way that like everything is with social media and these, like, you know, you can get into an information silo where you just hear the same the shit you want to hear. Is there a way for someone to win this debate tonight? I think that's my question.
I don't know. Look, either way, CNN's going to be like, wow, Joe Biden was impressive tonight. Yeah. He exceeded every expectation. He did great. He hung in there. And then Fox will just be like, wow, I can't believe Joe Biden's fucking.
Yeah. What if we're just blown away and Joe Biden does fall asleep? And then you're like, oh, son of a bitch.
The best part is it already happened. We're talking about it after, but it's already happened. So the world could be, the world could be a whole different place right now.
Shane, does he. Only saving grace I think Biden might have is there's no audience.
I think there's gonna be 100 people. That's all Trump needs, dude. He's a road dog.
That's a Thursday night at a funny bone for him. He's not worried about that.
Dude, he's been doing Albany.
There's 100 people?
Yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. He's gonna rip, dude.
Yeah, dude.
He's gonna be doing crowd work early.
That's a really funny thing too. When he comes in, he goes, "Trump, how do you think it went?" He goes, "I ripped."
I'll be selling t-shirts after t-shirts and hats.
Well, you guys don't mind, I have these t-shirts here that are one of my punchlines. Oh, Joe, you're awake tonight. Shirts.
There's definitely locker up t-shirts. He definitely sells phrase merch.
Yeah. Does he really?
My favorite piece of merch that I ever saw online of Trump fans was one guy was wearing a shirt that said, "I would rather be a Russian than a Democrat." You're like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. It's like, and then a bunch of people on the left were like, "See," and it's like, dude, I don't think anybody likes Trump. I think they hate everybody that hates him that much.
Yes.
Like, dude, a part of me, for real, I'm going to laugh if Trump wins. I will laugh. I'm not going to fucking cry. I'll be like, ah, because I'm thinking of all the people that hate me being sad. And it makes me happy.
And I think that's you're hitting on like the thing that I've even heard on the news where they're like, they don't care if you have Trump on tape saying he's downplaying the virus. They're like, they just don't care. They hate the people that hate Trump. That's just who they're after. They're just like, you hate Trump? Fuck you. I hate you.
If it's funny, I hate the people who have that strong emotion, personal emotion towards it on either side.
Dude,
I hate the people who hate Trump, and I hate the people who fucking like a basket case who goes and pours paint all over the Black Lives Matter sign. You're just like, lady, dude, I don't fucking like together.
I will say this. I do have a bit of, probably because where I'm from, but I definitely have a soft spot for somebody that just unabashedly is like, yo, Trump rules. Something about it. Like if somebody came up and was like, Kamala Harris rules, I'd be like, fucking beat it, dork. But if someone's like, yo, Trump, I'm like, yo, take it easy, but hell yeah. Hilarious, but relax.
Hello, everybody. I'm DJ Lou, and on this week's Quarantine Lost Tapes, we have our old brother, the very funny Andy Merkface Fiore. And Big J realizes right away that Andy looks a lot like the cult leader from The Vow. the HBO documentary about that dipshit who takes over people's minds and teaches them midnight volleyball.
I didn't think of it until this moment that you look like Keith from The Vow.
Wait, which one's Keith again?
Bring up Keith.
The guy. The
Keith
dude.
Rainier. Oh, the main guy.
Yeah.
Should I watch The Vow?
Shit, I guess I kind of do, don't I?
Should I get into The Vow? Fargo just started. I got to catch up on that.
I already told you you should get into The Vow. I told you this.
Stop.
I just got in this
weekend.
You're
wrong, Dan.
Shaved in.
Yeah, he kind of has the old butt cut that I used to rock.
Sex cult.
Glasses.
Sex cult.
Sex cult Andy. Sex cult Andy.
I do love volleyball.
Oh, I believe you.
Why does this guy play a ton of volleyball?
Dude, yeah, so much
fun. It's one of the things. It's one of the things for some reason. One of gazillion reasons I would never follow this dweebus is that he tries to convince everybody that we have to get together to play midnight volleyball. I would offer. I'd go, I'll come, but we have to make it basketball, and the chicks got to just watch.
And then he goes,
no, it's got to be everyone playing a significantly queefier sport. And then I would be like, dude, I like everything else. I'm into the branding. I want to fuck chicks. I want to fuck you. You seem like a good dude, but I'm out, dude. This is ridiculous.
He goes, no, it's pretty fun. We're going to play 5-on-5, and we're going to go to 21, and we're going to have classic beach volleyball rules.
And I'm like, I can't do it, dude. I need to show these girls. I got to show them how I can cut my crossover and
bang a
few times.
No one ever talks about how cults lose people on the small stuff, like the paperwork or the events you don't want to do.
Yeah, the style. Like, yeah, I don't look good in a one piece anything, so I can't.
Like telling Heaven's Gate, you're like, so we got to all wear the same sneakers? I just don't know. I like being in my own style.
It's like, dude, black sneakers make my feet look fat. I'm not going to be fat like that.
He's like, but that's when you'll ascend to heaven. Like,
yeah, but here's the thing, dude. I hear you. I do. But I got to tell you this, is that like my small ankles are one of my saving graces on my big fat body. So let me just say, I can't be found with, like, oh my God, there's this old man. Oh, and a guy with cankles. I can't. Yeah. I don't want to be identified like
just
that.
Just telling Koresh you don't want to.
Yeah, I feel like you're underestimated. Yeah, I feel like you could play some volleyball, bro.
No, buddy, listen. I could definitely probably play some volleyball. I'm just saying, I don't want to play volleyball. I want to go.
Why? Volleyball's Keith, fun. Keith, join I'll us.
Keith, I'll join your cult. I'm not going to play volleyball. I get the chicks and the whole thing. It's great. All these dipshit fucking Canadian actresses.
Yeah, dude. He's walking around with his stupid volleyball knee pads on. Oh, I hate him.
Dude,
oh,
man. Canadian actresses are the dumbest women in history. You heard it here first.
Well, we found out too about these Canadian actresses. Yeah. The second crop, there was an older crop of women that got weeded out about 9 years ago. And this is just the new young crop of
season of Battlestar Galactica. For some reason they were all on that show.
Yeah, the whole cast of Battlestar Galactica came with the bang. No one cared except Christine and her old roommate.
Yeah, everyone's like, oh wow, Battlestar Galactica, and you're like, cool, we get it. It was
one of the show. Can you imagine, of all the things Christine knows nothing about in reference wise, she said one time, she goes, oh, I remember that person was on Battlestar Galactica. Like, one, this is years ago. I go, what? She goes, oh yeah, I loved that show. Like, Battlestar Galactica. You love Battlestar Galactica? That's one of the shows you were into?
Yo, man, people loved are it. Fucking into it. You got to understand, Battlestar Galactica had a fan base that would, like, I feel like beat up Star Trek's fucking fan base. Battlestar Galactica, people were into it, dude.
I'm not talking about the one when we were kids. I'm talking about the newer one.
Reboot.
Oh.
Fucking awesome.
Oh, the reboot. I'm talking about the original. OG.
No, this is new. These girls aren't. These are younger girls. They were in Battlestar Galactica, the newer one, and they are dolts. I mean, front to back, morons. Jacob's in love with one of them, and I go, "Do feel better about yourself, Jacob, and don't. You could do better than a girl who decided to marry another cult member who we have to refer to as Nippy.
Nippy,
he's an adult.
She is.
He's a fucking adult. She's a moron.
They all are."
I feel like
they're all such dummies.
You know what this guy was relying on? The idea that these fucking nitwits, when they realize they're in a cult, they feel so stupid, and they go, they feel too stupid that they're not even going to tell the world, because they're going to be like, I'm going to look like an idiot. I'm just going to get the fuck out of here. And instead they go, we're telling the world. And you're just like, you're just telling a story of you being moronic.
They're all
at
moronic.
At its highest level. It's so stupid. And they go, you're so brave to tell the story. Like, you're not brave to tell the story. You're an idiot for doing it. You fucking shithead. Oh, hey, you guys want to go come over and get branded and call somebody a master and you have to call them for everything you do. You got to go, master, I just woke up. May I brush my teeth, master? Master, can I have breakfast, please? Can I have these things for breakfast?
It floors me, man.
Jacob, did you like the one that was on Smallville? Was that the one you like? Allison Mack?
No,
she was Battlestar Galactica. No, that's Kristen Krieg or something.
It really infected the set of BG.
I thought that was going to be your new term for hot girls. You go, dude, she's total Battlestar Galactica.
She's so Buck Rogers. She doesn't even know it.
Every time this one girl refers to her husband Nippy like we say Dan and Jay, it makes my blood boil.
It makes my blood boil.
What does she do? What does she do?
I'll tell you what, casually is, and I can't take him seriously at all because they're trying to, like, you know, deprogram these other people.
Yeah, by the way,
I'm just worried about Nippy.
His name's Nippy. Let me tell you something. Only a person named Nippy would be there when he's like, hey, hon, I think I joined a sex cult today and I got branded by another guy's initials. Will you support me in trying to leave? You're like, I can't have children with somebody this.
Why is his name Nippy?
No one, this never acknowledged.
Great question.
It's just his nickname. It's just what he's called.
Because Nippy's a name where it can sound.
His name's not Nippolis.
Nippolis. Nipple.
Frank O'Toole.
Nipuel.
Nipuel. Oh, Nipuel? Yeah, it's a classic. Continuum. I want to know.
Nipathin?
Up with Nippy Glazer?
Nippathin is hilarious. Oh, Nippathin's my father. Please call me Nippy.
I'm Nippy. Oh, shit. Yeah, they call him Nippy and with no explanation why. And she has to go back and say it. And it's like, and then we have me and Nippy have to take on this big, stupid company. It is not a big. This guy, I gotta say, unless you're a child, you deserve what happens to you being in this fucking cult. You deserve to be in a seven-way relationship with a fucking shithead who loves, earmuffs Andy, who likes that fucking jag-off sport of midnight volleyball.
Hey, it's Black Lou again. Comedian and new mom Rachel Feinstein talked about being a parent with Big J and Dan and reminisced about the job their own parents did raising them. This whole segment goes to show you that minority parents are strict as shit.
Rachel and I are on opposite ends of the rainbow of child raising in age-wise. Rachel has a newborn, and Isabella is going to be 18 in 2 weeks, and it sucks in so many ways. Wow. It's great because, you know, she's becoming an adult, and like her personality I love, and hanging out with her in that regard. But she asked for the first thing that I've been like, I don't know. She wants for her birthday, when she's 18 officially, to do like an Airbnb with her friends for like a night, like in a thing that she sent me the Airbnb, and it's like a party house, clearly. And it's just one of those things where you're like, oh man, like, and by the way, I'm thinking myself at 18, I'm like, sure. And no, I know what happened. I know what happened at those let's all stay over there places. And you're like, oh man.
I know.
Oh, it sucks.
And I knew you in those old days when you were just slamming puss. Excuse me. I regret saying that, and I'll see myself out.
it was just raining box on me.
But from a parent's perspective, when she asks you, like, hey, I've got this awesome, did she do it in the tone when you're asking to stay over to friends?
No, not at all.
Pretty sweet if you let us stay here.
I'll tell you what it is.
Did she call it a study house? Was she?
No, here's what happened. She smells the past whore all over Christine. So she appealed to her first. And was like, Christine, you're probably a bag who did shit like this when you were a child. And Christine was like, but you probably should talk to your father.
Well, no, she asked her mom and me first to kind of, I think, butter Jay up, because Jay's immediate response was like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't compare it to me. I was living on my own at 18, but I'm like, this is the age kids, like after prom, they get a house together, graduation. I'm like, it's the age that this happens. So.
It's funny because I moved to New York at 17 with a guy in his band called Dick Sister.
Is that real?
I know. I'm like
17. Yes. Dick Sister came to pick me up in a van And my parents were so liberal that my mom was just like on the front lawn in a dashiki. Like, sounds fantastic. No follow-up questions. I just left with a band called Big Sister.
You know what's funny is everyone always shits on like super like a hillbilly conservative families, you know, that are just like, whatever, get a gun. You're old enough to hunt for yourself. You don't think about the far left where they're like, that's a real good soul cleansing idea. And you're like, that's a terrible idea. Do not let your daughter move to fucking New York at 17 years old.
I know. My mom was just, she should have had a follow-up question. She was just on the front lawn, like, sounds fantastic. What a blooming feminist my daughter is. I'm like, this is not okay.
I love that so much. She's like, yeah, because where's Rachel? It's Yom Kippur. Like, she left with Dick's sister.
Yeah. We think she's living somewhere on the Lower East Side in a flat that used to just be a heroin hangout.
That's exactly what I was doing. Exact sentence.
Oh, we think Rachel sleeps on the floor now. Like, that's
how exciting. But they're like, how exciting.
Oh, my God. Just
what a life adventure.
What a vivacious life.
There was never any question about going to college or anything. They were just like, fantastic. I love it. My mom was waving.
My mom was white knuckling that middle class. She was like, dude, go to fucking college. Go to college. That's all you got to fucking do.
How old were you when you started comedy, Rachel?
I was like 21, I think, around 21. But I was living with Dick's sister for a while first. He kept dumping me, the lead singer. I'm not going to name drop, but he was the singer.
Yeah, if you're gonna uproot life, it's got to be for the singer, at very worst, the guitarist.
And also, he would dump me and then undump me and take me back. It was so sad. Like, I would leave and have to find a new friend to stay with in New York. And then he'd be like, all right, I guess you're not dumped. You can come back to Dick's sister. And I'm just
How old were they?
How old is he?
He was like 5 years older than me. It was probably illegal now that I can stroll down memory lane.
If you're his roommate and you're just like, hey, cool, man. And he goes, so I'm in this band, Dick's sister. This is my girlfriend, Rachel. And then you go to the bathroom. I go, hey, man, how old is Rachel? And he goes, yeah, really? She's 17. And you go, that's not going to fly here.
Because it is here in New York. It's legal here, buddy. That's why we moved.
Hey, I'm going to have so many 17-year-olds over here. And you go, no, that's not. I can't live with you.
Nobody asked any follow-up questions in Dick's sister. It was just four guys with blow all over their nose.
Oh, man. And then you're just 17, full of life. You don't need coke.
I loved him so much. I was like, if I can just hook my wagon onto his, I'll be... All I wanted was just to be Dick's sister's girlfriend. So each dumping and undumping was so painful for me. You know,
such
a roller coaster.
Have you followed?
Yeah, where's Dick's sister now?
Have you put a tab on him?
You know, I've talked about this before on podcasts, and people have like tagged me in old Dick's sister flyers and stuff like that. But they did break up because he sent me an email when I was on Last Comic Standing asking to get coffee.
Let's move.
I never want to get coffee with anyone, but
technically either. Because Dick's sister broke up after you guys broke up, you didn't Yoko Dick's sister.
I was kind of the Yoko because the band hated me. They wanted me out of the house. And ultimately with my final dumping, the one that took, like, that's the one where I realized it was real. And my dad had to come back up to New York in the grocery getter and like move me out and help me find an apartment. It was dark. That final one, they were all like, yeah, let's get the band back. You know, I was holding them back.
Basically. Did he ever try?
They wanted to jam after you got kicked out. They felt like jamming.
Did they try? Why were they? Did they not like you? Did they try to groupie you? And you were like, no, I'm with the Dick sister.
I went on tour with them once, which just consisted of like two dive bars in Michigan, I think. Sick. And I remember being in the bathroom on tour at like some place we were staying, and the guys were like, dude, you gotta let her go, dude. She's holding us back. It's not a cool vibe, bro.
She's not allowed into the places we perform.
Yeah, we can't see rated R movies until next week when it's over. I can't have her go get me a pack of smokes. I want a pack of smokes, and she can't get one for me.
Would the irony be if Isabella, if we say she can't do this Airbnb, and she goes, fine, then I'm leaving with Dick's sister. Like, what? They're back?
The van's outside. Get in, Isabella.
That's always the challenge, right? How do you say no just enough so that they don't turn into a godless whore? It's such the math is so tricky.
I agree. That's what I'm working on. I'm actually, to some degree, I'm probably gonna let her do this. I'm not paying for necessarily, and like, you know, I'm gonna talk to her and tell her how much I'm taking her word for here. And like, you know, it is what it is ultimately, but I'm certainly not paying for it. And I'm definitely not the parent that's like, I know where you guys are, so I'm going to get you some booze so you can do this. And,
my mom teetered that line real close.
Your mom was the line, dude.
No. She didn't want to be the lady that bought booze, but she definitely let that shit go.
She was like, hey, you and fucking Fartbox want to come over and rip a few tall boys and watch the game?
Not at all. It was shout out to Joey Owens. It was Joey Owens came over and me and him drank cranberry vodka with Barton's vodka. My mom's like, I got some shit vodka you guys can have.
Dude. Yeah. It's not good. I love Trish.
Yeah.
She should not teach parenting classes.
No, but she got it through. If you look at parenting like an investment, Trish got a fucking 2013 Forerunner out of this whole fucking investment.
I could see Trish just smoking Virginia Slims in the back, like letting the boys be the boys. Like
she didn't. She quit smoking, like, but she would have a drink, and then she'd come out and she'd be like, "Hey guys, all right, don't be too loud." We could get high in the garage.
Really?
That was like where we'd get stoned is in the garage.
The fact that Dan didn't end up becoming a member of Motley Crue is beyond me.
Oh man, we had the bone phone, and then we just smoke fucking. We do when she wasn't there. She wasn't there most of the day. Uh-huh. And, you know, Colorado high school. You get out at like fucking 12:30 or 1 o'clock. That's why I don't know proper words. But we'd go do gravity bong hits in my garage, and it would just be like six or seven kids just stoned off their ass.
Hey, this is Big J Okerson, and I hope you enjoyed this week's Best of the Bonfire. You can listen to the show live every Monday through Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Comedy Central Radio, Sirius XM 95, or on demand on the Sirius XM app. Be sure to follow us on social media at The Bonfire SXM.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.